Morning. Welcome. The ministerial's 24-hour prayer vigil will begin in 2 days, so if anybody is still interested in that, you can talk to my dad there. We'll continue collecting for the general fund if anybody missed out last week's collection. That's for the ALCA general fund. Are there any prayer requests? Or any other announcements? Caleb will read the psalm for us, and Tom will do the prayer and the message. We'll begin with 298.
Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Shew me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy, and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning on a beautiful sunny day. This is the Lord's day. And you've made it quite perfect with the sun shining and the limited snow in the fields. It is bright. The shine of the sun on the snow kind of seems like the shine of the face of Moses as he came down. The glory of God. Father, this day we want to honor you through your word by listening and obeying the word and being a doer of the word. by honoring that Holy Spirit that guides and directs through that still small voice into the heart of those who believe. Help us this morning, Father, to honor you through the Word, through the bride, who are the saints. Give us the ability to look up to the bridegroom and see his beauties and see his excellencies and see what he is doing through us, the hands and feet of Christ. Help us today. Father, we give thanks to this congregation for being hearers and doers of the word through that Spirit. But we also need your help. Help us to be able to die daily, to recognize our frailties, to recognize our sin, and to also recognize where that sin has been placed in the flesh of Christ on Calvary's cross. Father, we thank you for the children. We thank you for the youth. We thank you for their joyful appearance, their exuberance, the smiles on their face, their youthful spirit. We ask that you would give them confidence in the Word and in the words that say, "It is finished." Give them confidence in that still small voice that directs through that Spirit. Give them the ability to honor their parents. Give them the ability to love and to be loved. Give them the ability to receive conviction and to raise up from conviction the hope of eternal life. Father, we ask you to be with the people that can't come to church for whatever reason, whether it's illness or whether it's anger or whether it's the inability to even want to come. Father, help them. Reach out to them. Stretch out thy hand so that they can see the love of Christ and feel what it's like to be loved by him. Father, we especially thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against those who lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Thank you. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and the indwelling Holy Spirit be granted to you on this holy day of grace. The text that was chosen today is the fourth chapter of Exodus, verses 1 to 17. And we'll look back into Exodus in verses 2 and 3, in chapters 2 and 3, to glean from that, and we'll move forward also in the New Testament. But we'll read it in Jesus' name, so that's Exodus 4. 1 to 17. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they might believe that the God, the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have I the Lord? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God of God, shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So what is God the Father doing with Moses? A few things. He's building him up. As we'll read earlier in the text,
and 2 and 3. He's building them up to be the deliverer. So we can deliver from bondage, from slavery. He's showing Moses who he is, the great I am. He's also giving Moses confidence to be a participant in God's decreed will or his purpose for him, for the, what's happening. And he's also giving him a picture of Christ and the holiness of himself. So we look at this and we look and say, when did this start? What caused this all to happen? We go back to the second chapter of, and we realize that Moses was fleeing from Egypt and he was going to Midian. And I guess the reason why he was going is important, because sometimes it's been maybe misunderstood or maybe not quite what it seems. If we look at the 15th chapter, the 11th verse to the 15th of chapter 2 of Exodus, and we can read it. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, so he was grown and he left Egypt around, he was around 40 years old, that he went out unto his brethren, looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid in the sand. So he killed the Egyptian. And then he went out a second day. Behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And it was known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. So the Pharaoh had heard, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well. So he leaves. That the story is he's gone. He's fleeing because, and the thought is, he's fearing for his life. That's the thought. He's got to get out of there because he's gonna get killed. But that's not what's the thought. If we go to Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter. Because the word always, we have a thought in our mind that thinks, well, he must have been afraid, so then he's fearing for his life. And you look in Hebrews chapter 11, and it goes into Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he comes to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'll read that again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And the 27th verse kind of says, where you might have thought that Moses was fearful, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith, not by fear, by faith. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he wasn't fearing anything that was going to happen to him. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had to have a meeting with God, the invisible God. The burning bush had to happen. You see, it's not about Moses here. It's about what God is doing with Moses. So when we look at this, we look and see that
I used to think that he was, and there might have been some fear in Moses, but it was by faith that he left there. So God was introducing himself to Moses. In the third chapter, if you read from the second verse, and this is Moses in Midian, he's already a sheep herder. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Well, he's not a sheep herder yet, but he's going to be anyway. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So what was God doing? You see this bush, it's on fire, but it's not being burnt. He caught Moses' attention. He showed him a sign, caught his eye. Moses' direction was pointed there. He was looking. He saw the bush. That's funny. It's burning, but it's not burnt. So then, and Moses said, I will now turn aside, and I'll see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, so as soon as Moses turned aside to see the bush, God called unto him, and out of the midst of the bush said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. He's been walking a while. His feet is dirty. His actual sandals are dirty. What's he teaching Moses? If you're going to stand in the company of the holy God, take off your dirty shoes. He's showing Moses that he is holy. Moses isn't. Take off your shoes. So he's saying you need to revere God. You need to put God in a higher place. So he's teaching Moses lessons here. So and he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, and this is the promise, moreover, he said, this is what God's saying, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He was fearful of God. You notice God doesn't say, Moses, fear not. He doesn't say that to Moses. Moses needed to know that there's a reverent fear of God. He needed to know who God was, who God is. He needed to know that God was holy. So God was teaching him who he was. This was the picture. This was what's happening in the burning bush. And it's interesting because from 7 to 9, you see the compassion of God or the compassion of Christ here, if you read those verses. Because in the 7th, he says, what has grabbed God's attention? It's I have surely seen in the 7th the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And then he gives the mission. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land unto the good land and the large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey and unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God is saying, I have heard their prayer. I've heard their cries. And I'm going to do something about it. And you're going to help me. You're going to be the one that's going to be molded to accomplish this on the earth. You're the vessel that I'm going to be using. And then, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?
why are you using me? And he said, certainly I will, and God's promise is this, certainly I will be with thee, and this will be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The results of serving God. He's showing him the picture here. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So God is trying to say, you want me to go to these people? They're going to ask me, who is this God? What's his name? And God said unto Moses, he's teaching Moses something here, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So what's God teaching Moses here? What's his lesson before he actually has to do anything? He's saying, number one, I am holy. And when you come near me, be prepared that the ground is holy. Are you prepared to be standing in front of God who is holy and the ground around it that's holy? Number two, I am present. I am future. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. God is showing him who the true God is, Jehovah Jireh. He's showing Moses who he is. He's explaining to him who he is. And then if you read from 15 to 18, he's explaining to him what the mission is, what he's going to be doing. Moses hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't moved. He's still basically herding sheep, and he did this for 40 years, and he's being told to go and free the Israelites so that they can be out of bondage. And then we read in from 17 to 18 more of what's expected and what's going to happen. And then you say 19, it says, and from 19 to 22 is God's mission for Moses, and God's mission is who he's using is Moses to accomplish this mission. And he says, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Okay, he gives him a small picture here, but he doesn't define everything in the picture. It's very vague. This is what he says to him. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after, and then he will let you go. What's he doing here? Chapters 7 to 10. I'm not going to read them. The 10 plagues. Moses is going, okay, well, this is what's going to happen. Moses doesn't know these plagues are going to happen. He's giving Moses a piece of what's going to happen. And he also says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow from her neighbor, and that her sojourneth in her house, jewels and silver and jewels and gold, and raiment, and ye shall put upon them your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall get the spoil of the Egyptians. Where is this? It's in chapter 12 of Exodus, 31 to 36. Moses didn't know this. And this is when they're leaving. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, and get you forth from among the people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, take of your flocks and your herds as ye have, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we will be all dead men. And the people took their dough, and before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs being bound up in their cloths upon their shoulders,
And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels, silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So he's saying this to him, and this is when it happens. And then it goes on and says the text that we're reading. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You notice here, Moses is continuously needing confidence, and God is continuously building him up. The Lord said unto him, and you notice what he uses. He uses questions. He doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? He says, what's in that, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. He didn't have a clue what was going on here. He throws it down, it turns into a snake. Well, this is going to happen. This is practice. It would look pretty bad if he did this in front of Pharaoh and he fled from the snake. He needed to know the power of God. He hadn't seen it. He saw it in the burning bush. That was to show God's holiness and how holy God was. It was also to prepare Moses for what he has planned for him. So we have here these things that are happening. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, take it by the tail, put forth thine hand. He caught it and became a rod in his hand. Then, that they may believe the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, that appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put it in his hand again in the bosom. And he plucked it out. And behold, it turned again as his other flesh. Verses 2 to 4 and 6 to 7 are signs of the power of God and how powerful God is and what he can do. Moses needed to see this. Verse 5 is saying that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. So this was to convince the Pharaoh and the Egyptians that this, which never happened. Meaning it did happen, but they were never convinced. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. They never believed. So it says here, and he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into the bosom again and plucked it out. It's okay. So I read that. It says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, then they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it will come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, and they shall take the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. What God is showing here is his justice. There was 10 plagues. They didn't believe justice was done. Moses knew this ahead of. He still hasn't gone to the land. He doesn't understand, but God is teaching him of his power, of his might, what he can do. Here's the confidence. You need the rod. You're going to be doing this. And then Moses, verse 10, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, neither since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. What's he doing? He's trying to convince God to send somebody else. God is building him up. Why is he building him up? Because you're the chosen vessel I'm using. I'm not changing my mind on this. You're the one I'm going to use. You're the one that's going to be the deliverer. You're the one that's going to be the sign. You're the one that's going to be going. And Moses and the Lord said unto him, another question, he doesn't rebuke, he just says, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Have not I the Lord?
I'm going to, basically he's saying, I'm going to use you because I'm powerful and almighty to do these things. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to use you. This is going to happen. And the promise, verse 12. Now therefore, go, I will be with thy mouth, teach thee what thou shalt say. He's showing him, I will keep this promise. I'm going to do this. And Moses, and he said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send somebody else. Okay, Moses doesn't want to go here, but God's kind of, okay. Now, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, what does he say? He doesn't point to Moses and say how you're not listening or anything. He asks him a question, and he makes a statement at the same, Aaron, the Levite. Aaron, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he shall be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. So he gives Moses an out, and he says, okay, Aaron will be the spokesman. I will give you the words to say, you will tell Aaron, Aaron will tell Pharaoh, it'll go this direction. I will be over this whole thing. Aaron is going to be the spokesman, kind of like the prophet. You're going to be kind of like God to Aaron and to Pharaoh. It's how the process is going to work. And it says here, I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak to him, and put my words in his mouth, and I'll be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and I will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be a spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a god. What is chapter 7, verses 1 to 3 of this same? What is it saying here in chapter 7? And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. That's what's going to happen. He doesn't give Moses the full picture, but he does say, basically, you're going to be telling your brother, he's going to be the spokesperson, and you're going to be kind of his God and Pharaoh's God. And it says, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. So the rod is important, because with the rod that's being used, he will be able to do signs and wonders, which will even do signs and wonders which the people of the Egyptian magicians couldn't even do. So it is important that he brings the rod. But if you look at this, and if you read in Exodus 33, 12 to 23, it kind of goes through what happens. When the law, the commandments, the Ten Commandments are given. And the reason why that's important is because of the holiness of God and the comparison to Christ. So what we have here is, in these first three chapters, we have the building up of Moses so he's able to go into to Egypt, deliver the people, and be confident in what God's going to do. In Exodus 33, verses 12 to 23, I don't know if I'll read it all, but I'll read some of it. And basically, Moses, because he understands the holiness of God a bit, and he understands the power of God a bit, God needs to teach him his glory. So Moses said unto the Lord, this is the 12th verse, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. In the 14th verse says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In the 17th verse it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Why? How does he know thee by name? Because of the burning bush. And the explanation here is I am who I am. The burning bush. God knows him by name, Moses. And Moses also knows who God is here. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses is saying, I need to see your glory. He wants to learn. Moses is finally wanting to learn more from God, see more from God, and understand God. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand up a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So God is showing him his glory by his back parts. And you notice what happens in the 34th. It says, and the Lord passed, in the 6th verse, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin. The 8th verse, it says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And if you look in towards the end of this chapter, it says, and in the 29th verse, and it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. The skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of the face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. His face was glowing. He had the glow of Christ on his face. He had the glory of Christ on his face. It's a shine that it says. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of the face shone, and they were afraid to come with him. 32nd says, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put veil on his face. So he had the veil on his face when he's speaking to the people. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. And he came out, and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together. And he said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall ye work be done, but on the seventh day
there shall be to you a holy day, Sabbath of rest. To the Lord, whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. So he's giving him a whole bunch of information here of basically God's glory and actually giving him when to rest and what to rest in. And if we look at Hebrews 4, 1 to 3, there was a problem. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mingled with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So, what is God doing with Moses? He's the type of Christ. He's the deliverer. He delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. God showed him at the burning bush, God is holy. You're not. He explained to him, this is your mission. You're going to deliver the people out of slavery. They're going to cross the sea on dry land, and I'm going to bring you to the promised land. Pharaoh's going to have 10 plagues happen to him. His heart will be hardened. And the power and wonders of God and the power of God will be shown to all the world at that time. Because everyone, including Egyptian or Israelite, will see the power of God. It says that in the 9th chapter of Romans. To make his power known. So everybody will have seen the God, Jehovah Jireh. But this shine on Moses when he gave the law, when he came down and he was able to talk to God with the veil off, he talked to the people with the veil on. There's significance to that. Because in the New Testament, the veil was rent. You pray to God, the Lord's Prayer, every day, hopefully. You have a freedom to pray to God. He is holy. Is the prayer, do you step into your prayer room or however you pray, do you pray in a way that you go in and you jump in and you say, hey, Lord, I'd like to talk to you today because I just want to have a conversation. Or do you recognize that your feet, your sandals, your shoes, they're dirty. And he is holy. Do you say, Lord, there's sin here, and I don't want to step on holy ground without understanding and believing that my sins are on the cross of Calvary, and they were placed in the flesh of Christ, and they stayed there. And I have received his righteousness, so I am able to pray to you because I am righteous before God because of the work of the cross. And then you pray a prayer. And that shine on Moses is the shine we received, the glow of Christ. What is that glow? The gospel is sufficient. Have you entered into that rest?
The gospel has defeated Satan, the world, and your flesh. Has your rest been mingled with faith? The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit is our current covering so that we can stand in Christ. It will be exchanged for the robe of righteousness in heaven, where all battles are won. So do you have the glow of Moses? Does your face shine? Because you have entered into his rest when he said it is finished. Today is the Lord's day. It's a day of rest. Are we resting in the work of the cross? Are we resting in the faith of Jesus Christ? Are we resting in the promises of God? Or do we just continue to work? I think the shine, the glow of Christ should be on all believers because we're resting in what he is doing, has done, and will do. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon to you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's close with 470.